Okay. So basically, in previous, you know, shiurim on this, you know, within this sugya, we've been dealing with, you know, the nature of the hetzer pikuach nefesh. I know, enough said. We dealt a lot with that. So then the second part of the sugya is not dealing with the nature of the hetzer pikuach nefesh, but it's rather called the scope of the hetzer pikuach nefesh. Basically, in what situations do we apply the hetzer, under what circumstances? So the major, right, it's very clear that, you know, it's already clear from the Mishnah that the hetzer pikuach nefesh extends to cases of safek pikuach nefesh. That's clear from the Gemara and the Koros cited for the hetzer. But the issue we're going to see in a number of three different issues in the sugya, which arise different circumstances where the question is going to be, you know, when, you know, if hetzer pikuach nefesh applies in those scenarios. We're going to discuss the issue of when there's a rov that there's no hetzer, when rov dictating that there's no pikuach nefesh, a sfeik sveika dictating there's no pikuach nefesh, and what we call, you know, the you know, deos, you know, buster deos, you know, when there are rogue people saying, you know, that there is no pikuach nefesh. The question is, in those circumstances, which doesn't, it's not like a classic suffix hashakal, right? It's more, you know, there's more on the side of, you know, dictating there's no pikuach nefesh. The question is the heter pikuach nefesh even apply in all these situations? So let's go through each one by one. So first, starting off with the issue of rov. So again, so the issue of rov is, you know, explicitly addressed by the Gemara itself, right? What we read yesterday, Shmuel starts off by saying lo holchu b'pikuach nefesh acharov. Right? States emphatically that we do not follow rov. Gemara then sets up what is the situation of rov, that there would be a havamina that rov would work. Case of parish. So let's just keep things organized. Right, and we saw, right, yeah, right, last night we already saw the Tosas on the top. Hey, hey, is the way he, you know, the way he learns out the Joshua V'chaibam in such a way to basically include even cases of rov. Say that we're even choshesh l'mi'bayin. The issue that we're going to have to discuss is, again, what's the scope of this hetzer? Meaning, how far do we go? Are we choshesh for all mi'utim? All situations of mi'ut? We're always going to be choshesh for mi'ut? Or are we only going to be choshesh for certain types of mi'ut? So let's, you know, try to set up the sugya in an organized fashion. So the first option, first approach in the sugya, is that we're choshesh for every single miut. So this is the interpretation of the Rambam of Shita Shmuel. Right? Shmuel says a blank statement that lo holchu b'pikuach nefesh acharuf. Right? And Shmuel himself never qualifies his statement. If you take Shmuel at face value, it seems like he always says rechoshesh for miut. And in fact, the Rambam, you know, which is, doesn't say this in his in Mishnah Torah, but it's, I didn't have you read this because it's very long. But the Kesef Mishnah on, all right, in, on the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Chaf to Chaf Aleph, the Kesef Mishnah cites a. Have a number of these. The tshuva is a back and forth between the Rambam and the Chachmei Lunil, where basically, or in the Chachamim of the town of Lunil, basically read the Rambam's Mishnah Torah and presented a number of different tshuvas, presented a number of questions to the Rambam, and you have the Rambam responding to the questions.
Wait, that's so cool.
Yeah. So the Kesef Mishnah on the spot quotes this really long tshuva between.
Do we have the manuscript?
Well, here he quotes it, but I'm not sure. The Kesef Mishnah quotes a number of them in different contexts. Yeah. So if you want to take a look, the Kesef Mishnah quotes a whole quote because it's a long back and forth.
I even own that book.
Okay, good. So yeah, so in their discussion, the Rambam, right, in the Rambam's, you know, response to Chachmei Lunil, the Rambam basically in passing mentions that the Shita of Shmuel is to say that he's choshesh for all miutim. In all cases, whenever you have a miut, we're going to be choshesh for that. That's fine. And according to this, we're going to see that Rav Yochanan's qualification, right, the distinction between the cases of Parash Mekusayu and Parash Kulu, according to this interpretation, that qualification, that distinction is only within the Shita of Rav Yochanan. But Shmuel himself doesn't hold to that distinction. And well, because Shmuel holds that you never follow Rov in the context of Pikuach Nefesh, namely, we're always Choshesh for the Miut. Fine. So again, that's the Shita of Shmuel according to the Rambam.
Or the Miut just is the excluded.
Miut literally is the, not the majority, but the minority. You know, and you have a percentage. Is,
right, yeah. But it's the same shorish as, like, memain tes, right? It's,
yeah, like ma'at, I would assume. Like little.
It's, can that also mean to exclude?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah. You're not crazy. Those, same word. Okay. So that's the...
Shouldn't a Karnak to Shmuel that you should always save the guy? That's a little helpful.
Yeah, exactly. In all situations of rove, you never follow the rove, you always will save the guy. Exactly. So that's the Shitas Yachid of Shmuel, you know, according to the Rambam. And it should be noted that no one paskins like that. Even the Rambam, who thinks that it's the Shita of Shmuel, doesn't go like that. So now, let's take this back to the next stage of the Gemara, where we present the Shita of Rav Yochanan, where he's going to have a more limited version of the Shita. Right? He's not going to say the Choshesh for all Miyutim. He's going to say we're only Choshesh for certain types of Miyutim. Continuing on in the Gemara, someone want to, Binyamin, would you mind reading for us? The Gemara, after quoting Shmuel and going through the case of Parish, which, the Gemara then asks Eni.
Yeah, Eni.
Five lines up. Everyone see where we are? Five lines up the Gemara.
Okay. Eni, Vilmer of Asi Omer of Yochanan, Tisha Kusim, Visol Adam, the Osa Chotzer Mefakchen, Chotzer Achares, Ein Mefakchen. And we just said, according to Shmuel, that you are going to be Mefakeach, even when you leave.
Yeah, so basically, what's Rav Yochanan saying? Rav Yochanan is saying that there is a case where you do follow the Rove. Right, the case of Bechatzer Acheres. And presumably the difference between Osa Chatzer and Chatzer Acheres is the difference between...
Kavu and Parish.
Exactly, Kavu and Parish. Right, Pashtus, but Osa Chatzer is basically the classic case of Kavu, right? The original field, right? The original Chatzer, they're all, right, all 10 people, the 9 Gaim and the 1 Yisrael are still in that original field. And then one of them, one of them gets stuck under a mound of rubble. You don't know which one it is. But again, it's taking place in that original village. That Pashas, that's a case of Kavua, right? Because the Leidas, as we discussed last time, the Leidas HaSafik, right, the person being, stuck under a mound of rubble, is in the same place where all 10 people are, namely, including the Miyah. So that's Pashas, is the case of Osa Chatzar, that same Chatzar. Therefore, Benfachin, where we have to be Choshish for the Miyah, because of Kavua. But Chatzar Acheres, namely, the case of Parish, classic case of Rov, sounds like, in Benfachin, we're going to follow the rove. So it seems at first glance, the Rav Yochanan basically says we always follow the rove when it comes to even in the context of pikuach nefesh. So it seems we do a derek stira to Shmuel. So Gemara says, no, wait a second.
Lo kasha, how the parish kulu, how the parish mikzasai.
So a loaded statement, as I can tell you refrained from even going there. Leave it at that, and we'll get to this in a moment. But for now, basically it's clear that Rav Yochanan is basically saying, I don't mean to say that we're never choshesh for miyut. It just depends on the chilek between parash miktsasayu and parash kula, which we'll get to the details in a moment. But in short, it's clear that according to Rav Yochanan, that he's only choshesh for certain miyut. Right? Not going to be choshesh for all miyutim, he's only going to be choshesh for a certain type of miyut.
Is this saying that even Shmuel holds there's a case where you're not allowed to do
it? So we'll get there right now. So,
didn't Rambam just say that Shmuel?
Yeah, we'll get there right now. So, right now, meaning, what's clear from the Gemara is that Rav Yochanan, right, has this qualification. The Rav Yochanan basically says that you're going to be a choshesh for miyutim in certain cases. But you don't necessarily know whether Shmuel agrees to this chiluk. So we pointed out before that Rambam learns that Shmuel does not agree to this chiluk. The Rambam thinks that Shmuel is always choshesh l'miyut. So, the Rama, right, the same person as the Yad Ramah, basically also quoted in that same Kesem Mishnah, and back and forth between the Rambam and the Chachmei Lunil, he thinks, right, the Yad Ramah in that Kesem Mishnah is quoted as saying that even Shmuel agrees to this chilik of Rav Yochanan. And he basically points out, because if you think about it, it's a strange shock of Retaria. You have a Shita of Shmuel, who's in Gemara, and then the Gemara asks, Eini, can Shmuel really be holding that? But doesn't Rav Yochanan argue? The question is, Yad Ramah says, okay, it's a machlokes amorah. Since when does the Gemara ask a question on one amorah from another amorah? So basically, Yad Ramah is basically saying that the Gemara knows that Shmuel agrees to Rav Yochanan. And therefore, that's why the Gemara is saying, Eini, is that really the shita of Shmuel? Meaning, don't we know that Shmuel agrees to the following statement of Rav Yochanan? And that seems to be a stira to Shmuel's statement. And therefore, when the Gemara then explains Rav Yochanan's statement with the chilek of Parash Kulu versus Parash Miktsasayu, that chilek also applies to Shmuel.
Where is this Ramah?
The Ramah is quoted by the same Kesem Mishnah on Hilchos Ramah, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis Halacha Chaf. That's in Kesem Mishnah. So again, for sure, you have Rav Yochanan making drawing this distinction between Parash Mitzasai and Parash Kulo, and according to the Adrama, Shmuel also agrees to the chilek. So now we have to try to understand what exactly is this chilek between Parash Kulu and Parash Mitzasai. So the general statement that'll make that there's a big machlokes Rishonim here, and really opposite shitas about which of the two Parash Kulu, Parash Mitzasai, which case are we choshish amid with it. But the common denominator between both approaches, in the Rishonim, that everyone seems to agree, this is why we discussed the nature of Kavua last time, that according to this Shita of Rav Yochanan and or Shmuel, that you're only choshish for a miyut, which is in some way Kavua. Meaning that as we discussed last time, the vart of kavua, kemechsa mechsadam, which means mida oraisa, if something is defined as kavua, we're choshish for the miyut. That idea is that when the miyut is in front of us, namely the miyut is in the makom of the leita sasafek, is in the same place where the safek takes place, so then mida oraisa, we suspend the rov, and we are choshish for the miyut. So in short, both approaches in the Rishonim are going to say that this chiluk of Parash Mitzasai and Parash Kulo is basically coming up with a case of a miyut, which is similar to the case of kavua, kemechsa mechsadami, and therefore it's that type of miyut, which is like kavua-like, kavua-esque, which we are going to, it's that specific type of miyut, which is similar to kavua, that we are going to be choshesh for. So again, that was very abstract, and hopefully when we get to the details it'll become clear. But in short, while the first approach in the sugya of Shmuel is a choshesh for every miyut, the second approach in the sugya of Rav Yochanan and possibly Shmuel is that we're only choshesh for a miyut which is partially kavua, partially in front of us. Okay. So now let's just get to the details of Parash Mitzasai, Parash Kulu, and this will hopefully become clear. So again, as we pointed out before, there are two different, approaches within the Rishon in terms of how to understand this chilek between Parash Kulu and Parash Mitzasai, and which one is the case, in which we are choshesh for the miyut. So starting off with Rashi, right? So the first approach is Rashi. We'll see Dira Maschil Had to Parash Kulu, Tosos, same Dira Maschil Had to Parash Kulu, and also the Ravid in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Chaf Aleph. Again, Rashi, Tosos, and the Ravid all say the following idea: that the only time we're choshesh for the miyut, according to this Shita of Rav Yochanan, that we're only choshesh for the miyut in the case of Parash Kulu. Which is what, according to Rashi? Right, Parash Kulu, according to Rashi, is when the case is as follows. Originally, all 10 people, right, 9 Goyim and 1 Jew, were in the original Chatzir. Right, in the cases where, the Safek took place in the second Chatzir. So Parash Kulu is where, at some point in time, all 10 people in that original Chatzir passed through the second Chatzir, right, the second Chatzir in which, in which place the Leida Sasafek took place. Right, so according to this Shita of Rashi, Tosas and the Ravid, and we'll read it inside in just a moment, the idea is that since the Miyut, right, since all 10 people passed through the second Chatzir, the Makom of the Leida Sasafek, so therefore it's clear, right, it's certain that the Miyut also at one point was in the Makom Leida Sasafek. Because at some point, the miyut, the Yisrael, passed through the second chatzer. So because at some point the miyut was in the makom of a leita sasafik in the second chatzer, so we're going to basically, extend the rules of kavua to say that, and treat this case as also being a case of kavua. Right, so although mida oraisa, it's very important to note, although mida oraisa b'chol Torah kula, this is not a case of kavua. Because, right, it's a classic case of parish, mida oraisa. Because, right, all 10 were originally in the original Chatzir, and then there's only one person, in the second Chatzir at the time that, that he falls under, that becomes covered by a mound of rubble. So at the time of Aleda Sasafek, there's only one person there. That's a classic case of Parash. So Midaraisa, B'chol Torah Kula, we would apply Rov here. But in the context of Pikuach Nefesh, we expand the scope of Kavua to say that Kavua is not just when all 10 people were in this place we'll call the makam of the Leita Sasafik. It's even, according to Rashi, Tosos, and the Ravid, when at some point in time, the miyut was for sure in the that makom of the latest asafik, even if it wasn't at the time of the latest asafik. But as long as at some point the miyut passed through that second chatzer, we're going to treat that case as a case of kavua. And again, the yisod is because, from a certain extent, you know, since the miyut was for sure in that place, it's harder to ignore. We can't just ignore that miyut, and therefore we have to be choshesh for that miyut because it has like kavua-esque qualities in the sense that it at one point was in the makom leitos asafik. So let's just, before we take any questions, let's just see this inside in Rashi. Aaron, would you mind reading Hadde Parish Kulu, where Rashi explains this?
Yeah, Hadde Parish Kulu. Ho lebi it chazik Yisrael, b'hai chatzer shenach lebo mepolet, b'fakin v'avol gav,
dinay. B'fakin, right? So what is he saying?
That since since a Jew got injured in the chatzer where...
No, not as he got injured, since he was in the chatzer. Meaning, since Parish Kulu means all 10 people at some point passed through the second chatzer. So that means our miyut, in our case the Yisrael, at some point was in that chatzer. Right? He calls it Ischazik Yisrael b'hai chatzer. At some point, there was a kavius of the miyut in that chatzer. Then Rashi says, "Avagav denaydi."
So Avagav denaydi, even though it's not kavua.
Exactly, even though really mida oraisa v'chol Torah kula, this is still a case of parish. Because at the end of the day, you know, the suffix didn't take place in the place where all 10 people were. At the time that the suffix took place, only one person was there. But again, because at one point in time the miyut, the Yisrael, was in that place, we, you know, in our extended version of kavua, we were able to say that, oh, we can't ignore it. Because in the makom where the suffix took place, the miyut was there, you know, we can't ignore it. Well, let's just see the contrast, it's clear also. So how the parish mitzvah sayim, right? That's the case where not everybody, you know, was at some point in the second chatzer.
So how the parish mitzvah sayim, v'lo yadin an ihava Yisrael b'hai chatzer, and we don't know if a Jew was ever even in that chatzer to begin with.
I mean, because not all 10 people...
Yeah, only one went in there.
Exactly, one or even five went in there at some point. You don't know for sure, there's no vados that the Yisrael at the miyut was in the makom of the latest asafik.
So even if you have 9 that go in there.
Exactly, as long as there's no vados, there's no ischazik, there's no kevius, therefore azlinan basaruba, ho avalo ischazik. So again, the reason why we're developing the idea of kavua last time is so we can understand, you know, these Rishonim, with an understanding that kavua is about, you know, when the miyut is in front of us, we can't ignore it. So what's going on here is that the Rishonim are, you know, extending kavua, but along the same lines. Conceptually, it's the same idea, it's just an extension thereof. It's basically saying that not that all 10 were in the same place where the suffix took place, but they were all in that makom at some point in time. And since they were all in that makom at some point in time, the miyut was for sure there, was for sure in that second chatzer. And since the miyut, the Yisrael, was for sure at some point in time in that chatzer, we can't ignore it. Yeah.
Why can't we apply like some sort of idea of chazak v'neikar? I was asking a little bit about
this later. Yeah. Well, what do you mean by that?
Like, can you say we know that the guy was in the room? Like the last piece of actual factual information we have about people in the house is that guy was in that room. And we have no information to say that he's not in that room at this point, which we can definitively prove. We say chazak the main card that he's in that room. As long as there's someone in that room, we assume that he's the one who was to be in that room, because that's the last piece of factual information we have in the face of that shows.
Yeah, I hear the question, but there's also a concept of a chazaka, which is a suya lehishtanos. Right? Where basically, that it's right, literally, meaning chazaka meikar is a status quo ante. Right, in halacha, we recognize that if you know bevados that a certain status, you know, that something was a certain status, right? If we don't know that something changed, we assume that nothing changed. But a major exception to that klal is that if you know that the situation is nikan, right, is susceptible to change, so we don't necessarily apply that. So here, this is even stronger than the suya l'hishtanos. Here, you know for sure that people were leaving. So you don't really have the same fact of chazaka me'ikara. Chazaka me'ikara is, yeah, if you knew the Jew was there, and you don't know that he left, then even if it was a suffix that he left...
But there are people who are leaving, so...
Exactly, so I think that undermines the chazaka me'ikara. I hear where you're coming from, but I think, you know, the fact that you know that people leave, I think, you know, ruins that a little bit, yeah.
I was thinking, could you say maybe that if one guy leaves, then the chances are that it is a Jew? Because if there's nine guys that aren't Jewish, and there's a Jew, then you could say... You could say maybe there's some sort of, like, chazak or rule. If there's nine guys, the guy, one guy's splitting off, it's a Jew.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I never seen that. You saying statistically? It's hard to say statistically, because there's a 9 to 1 ratio there.
The chances is if one of them is breaking off, or one...
Okay, I'll let the mathematicians argue that one. That's a chiddush. That's definitely a chiddush.
Can't have any of those.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is, like, if there's a practical difference between how you explain it, but are we saying that when we say inol penachar robe, we're just expanding kol kavua kemechzel mechzedami? Like, saying that it covers more ground when we say inol penachar robe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. We're basically saying... I mean, when we say that pikuach nefesh in hochem pikuach nefesh acha rov, we're basically saying because we're expanding the notion of kavua, basically to cover to cover more cases such that.
So we're not saying that this is a rov and we just don't care about rov because it's pikuach nefesh. We're saying that it's actually we consider it as if it's mafzal mafzal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We usually would want to follow the kavua, but we nevertheless we want to rov. Is that?
One more time.
I mean, we really, really usually you follow kavua. You have a kavua. That's what you we follow. That's what.
No,
we follow.
I'll say the opposite. I mean, normally you follow rov, but in cases of kavua where the meat is in front of us, we can't follow a rov.
Because we know other, we know otherwise.
And that we know otherwise that we were explaining, you know, the other night is that in the cases of kavua, you know, the miut is staring us in the face. The miut is present in the makom. Where the suffix is taking place.
Like in Tesha Tzivorin.
Exactly, exactly. Tesha Chanuyos. So, right, in that case, that even though, you know, 9 out of 10, you know, are kosher stores, but because you got, you know, the suffix was from which store you picked up the meat, and there's that one meat, you know, non-kosher store which is present, we just, you can't, you know, you can't ignore that. We can't follow the road, you know, to ignore that meat. So the chiddush in the case of pikuach nefesh is that we are expanding, you know, the scope, the gedder of kavua, to, you know, to include such a case where, you know, again, it's not that the, you know, that all the meat was vaday present at the, you know, at the shas leidas hasafek, correct? At the time of the safek, there was only one person in that second chatzer. But as long as at one point the meat was in that makom of leidas hasafek, then we're going to say that's an expanded case of kavua, and therefore rov is not going to apply. So again, that's the pshat of Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ravid, and namely, the case in which we're choshesh for the miut is the case of parish ku. The second approach is really the opposite. So this is the pshat of the Rambam, and the Ran, you see, this is the Rambam, you see, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halachos Chaf, to Chaf Aleph, is also the Ran's explanation of the Rif, the Ran, Tatbe Rif, Hey Amin Aleph, Dibra Masim Lo Kashia, and also the Rush in our Parikhes, Simin Tezvav. So again, the Rambam, Ran Mishem the Rif, and the Rush all have this opposite approach to say that the case in which we're Choshesh for the Miut is the case of Parish Miksasayu, the opposite perspective. The way they say it, is that the time that we're going to be choshesh for the miut, in the case of parish mitzasayu, which basically means that only one person left the original chatzer, what they're focusing on is the fact that from the perspective, they're focusing on the original chatzer. And since parish only mitzasayu, since only one person left, so basically the original kvias, you basically have almost the entire group still intact in the original chatzer. So they're basically saying that their chiddush, that, you know, the expansion of kavua, is that instead of focusing kavua in the makom of the leidas hasafek, which is the second chatzer, they're saying focus on the original chatzer. And since there basically is still a kvias there, because basically all 9 out of 10 of the original group are still there, so therefore that resembles like kvias. That's the way they take it. So again, in contrast to Rashi, Tosos, and the Ravid, who are saying that they're focused on the kviyas in the second chatzar, and therefore to them you need the kviyas. It's the case of Parish Kulo, where everybody had gone to the second chatzar. The second group, right, the Rambam, Ran B'Shem, the Rif, and the Rush are focusing on the original chatzar, and to them the case in which we're choshesh for the miyut is the case of Parish Miktsasayu, which means that since only one person has been Porish, therefore most, 9 out of 10 of the original Kviyas is still in that original Chatzar. And their Chiddush is that we can expand Kavua and be Koveya, the status of Kavua, not based on the Makom where the Safik is, namely the second field, but even based on the original Chatzar. And therefore, since there basically still is a Kviyas in that original Chatzar, we'll consider that a case to be a case of Kol Kavua Kamech Zanach Sadami.
So even when the Mapolis falls on the guy who went to the second chatzar, right?
Correct.
So how exactly does it transfer? How does Kokavok kind of transfer?
Yeah, so it's hard to know exactly. It's a little strange. But basically they're saying that, they're not focusing on the Makom of the latest Asafi, as
so
you're
pointing. Why would it make it that it would be a Vada Yisrael in the second chatzar?
Yeah, so they're basically saying that when it comes to, their perspective is that when you're trying to determine kavua, if the miyut is staring us in the face, they're saying, don't just look at where the suffix is, the second chatzar. Also look at where the original chatzar is, because that's where they all started. And since the whole group is still intact, so basically the miyut is still basically staring us in the face. So even though that's not where the makom,
I shouldn't be able to save the guy who just left. Because the meat's still with the 9 games. Right?
No, so they're basically saying that therefore in this case, you just always have to be choshesh. Oh, you're saying it's in the wrong place?
Yeah.
You're saying, because you're saying the meat is in that
person. Saving the guy who just left.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see it inside, just to make sure, but I think that's what you're saying, but I hear what you're asking. Let's see the Rambam in Chav to Chav Aleph, and we'll see the way he presents the cases. Rambam Zmanim, Perek Beis, Halacha Shabbos, Halacha Chav, go for it.
Jews and non-Jews in this courtyard, right? Even if it's a 1,000 non-Jews and 1 Jew. Nefarim of Polis and the Waltham, Nefkirchen,
Nefkirchen,
Nefkirchen, Kol Mipnes Yisrael. You unbraid them all to get to the Jew.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So how do you categorize this case? Right, the case is right. Just practically, it's that they're all in that, right? They're all in the original chatzar. As you said, it falls on all of them. So what would you call this? This is a classic case of kavua, right? This is right. This is where the miut for sure is in the makom of the latest asafik, right? We're all in the original chatzar, so it's pashit that we're gonna be choshesh for the miut in this case. This is we even be choshesh for this miut the chol tor kula. So moving on. Here it is.
One of them went to a different courtyard. Enough love of Osef Asir, and it fell on him there. In fact, in Allah Shema Zeh, Shapir Shal Yisrael, the Hanisham, we save him, we honor him in case the one that left was the Jew and everyone else.
Yeah, so this is the case of Parish Miktsasai. Right? One guy left. Right, and this is specifically the case that Rashi and Co would say that we're not choshesh for the miyut. The Rambam says this is the case of Parash Miktsasai. This is where we are choshesh for the miyut. Again, everyone else, right, except for this one guy, is still in that original chatzer. One guy left. That one guy was, got buried under a pile of rubble. This is where we're choshesh for the miyut in this case of Parash Miktsasai.
Why wouldn't we?
Let's just finish. Let's see the contrast in Chav Aleph. But Nekru Kulan.
If they all get up, Nekru Kulan. y'all get up from this closer to go to a different one. Uva is a kirasan, and at the time they're getting up here, shaykh and mehen, nefus the closer keras. One of them separates and goes to a different closer than they're all going to. Nofal of mapolas, and fall down in there. Then you do a mihu, and you don't know who it was that went there, if it was a jury, one of the guys.
In Mafa,
you don't save them.
It's very important, right? Kibush Neku Kulam from the original Chatzer. We read inside. Ain.
We don't have any Jew who's set in any one place, so we don't have Kol
Kavua. Exactly, right? So the Rambam seems to be saying, like we were describing before, that, right, the case in which we are choshesh for the miut is specifically parish mitzasayu, where everyone is still in that original chatzir and there's still a kvias there. But he says if the parish kulu, if everybody leaves that original chatzir, then we can no longer apply a kvias. So again, it's a very, counter, as you pointed out before, a little counterintuitive, because the kvias, as he's right, according to the Rambam, is based on that original chatzir, and according to our reasoning, the whole factor of kvias is not being able to ignore the miut in that place. And what Biyamin is pointing out is that if you can't ignore him in that place, so that's less of a reason to be choshesh for the miut in the makom in the latest of Safek. But the Rambam seems to be basically saying, like looking at the case at large and saying, oh, this is a kvias, and this might be an answer to your question, Biyamin. He seems to be saying that, oh, like once there's a kvias in one place, namely the original chatzer, we basically just render the case a case of kavua, and once the case is a kavua, that suspends roof.
Wait a minute. There's 10 people, 9 goyim, 1 Jew in a courtyard.
Yeah, original courtyard. Yeah.
Okay. They
all leave.
They leave and go to another courtyard.
Yeah.
And then some rocks fall on them.
On one of them. Yeah.
On one of them.
It depends on the case, but yeah, either all of them or one of them.
Why not just start the story, like, in the second courtyard?
What?
Yes. I don't even understand why the first courtyard is an issue, then.
Yeah, that's what's asking Rashi, because Rashi says that they all go to another courtyard. Tosfos says,
but so what, they all go to another
courtyard. Which is the same as the original thing, which is a 10 courtyard.
Yeah, exactly.
So?
Yeah, so, presumably, that, yeah, you can't start because, they scatter. We no longer, meaning, there wouldn't be a suffix if they didn't scatter, basically, right? Meaning, it's a case where they all go to the second, meaning, that's within Rashi.
I'm trying to understand the sheet of the Rambam.
So the Rambam is that they all go to they all leave, they're all heading to, they're originally in Chatzar X.
There's a minion of 9 goyim and 1 Jew in
the original chatzar.
Right, in the courtyard of Berklee College, and they leave Berklee College and go to the courtyard of Berklee College is one of the constituent colleges of Yale.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. They leave North Court of Berklee College and they walk to the courtyard of Pearson College.
Okay,
all 10 of them.
But one of them leaves.
One of them leaves and goes elsewhere.
Hello.
And goes to Slivka. Right. No, that's confusing because then you know that it's the Jew. I mean, maybe not. It's Sunday morning, so there's bagel brunch. Fine.
Okay.
Why not just, cut out the part where I talked about Berklee College and start with with Pearson College? In which case, we've got a minion of 9 goyim and 1 Jew, and one of them leaves. Okay. And we're saying, so the sheet of Rambam is that because we're not sure whether the guy who left wasn't a Jew, we don't save the, we're not mefakhin on the 9 remaining.
And we will apply rov in that case, yes. Because there's no kvias.
Oh, so because we're not sure there's a kvias. Oh.
The koveya
right.
For
oh I see okay
kvias.
I see, I see.
Only
so in other words, we didn't need oh so we didn't need the whole they left the first court business.
Oh no, you do.
Why?
What?
Don't they need to be moved if need to get,
yeah
if they just
the kvias. The point is, the only time that we're going to be we're going to suspend the rov,
yeah,
is when there's a certain...
What do you mean suspend the rov?
Not follow the rov.
Yeah.
Be choshesh
for right, right, yeah.
And the only time we're going to be choshesh for mir is when the case is classified as a case of kvius.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So why wouldn't it be...
And the kvius is established by their original grouping. That's where they all were in the same makom.
Like...
Along with the mir, right? Because the mir...
Say, okay, so wait, the, hold. So they're in the original makom, right? All 10 of them. One leaves. We don't know who.
Exactly. But since the original kvius,
mostly
still remains,
yeah,
so we can consider this case of kavua.
So them being together, so what establishes the kavua, and therefore triggers the... Okay. And so as soon as they separate,
exactly,
right, with nine of them,
exactly,
with nine plonies
yeah,
going to Pearson
no longer,
and one plony going to Slifka, that's the name of the Yel-Hilal,
there's no longer
a certainty, and therefore we go by Rove.
Exactly.
And that's the sheet of the Rambam.
Exactly.
And what Tosfos is saying is
the opposite.
It's the opposite. Like,
forget the original Chatzar, because that's not where the Suffolk is.
Right, that's not where
the Suffolk is. The Suffolk is all in the second Chatzar, and therefore the perspective of Tosfos and Rashi and the Ravid is that a completely different perspective. Is that the only time we're going to be choshesh for the miut is when the miut for sure at some point, you know, when was in the second chatzar.
So now I have a question: the minion separates, and some rocks fall on the one guy instead of the nine. And now
what's your case?
Now we have a same thing.
We just discussed like 10 different cases.
Hold on. The minion leaves Berklee College. Nine of them go to Pearson.
You were in Rambam or Rashi?
Rambam. Okay. Nine of them go to Pearson.
Yeah.
One of them goes to Slifka.
Mm-hmm.
Some rocks fall on the one who goes to Slifka.
Roof.
We don't save him.
Correct. We follow that.
Why? This is just... Why is the
because
fact that...
It's a classic as a parish.
In other words, he's... As far as we're concerned, he's just some guy now. Now it's a case of just like regular old Suffolk nefashos, no?
No, because there's Rove. Rove Goyim.
Rove Goyim, when he was with this other group of folks, he's just a guy. Now he's just some schlemiel going
to... Yeah, but we don't know who he is. What's his name?
But we have a Gemara that says that in the case where you don't know whether he's... You know nothing at all about his status. In other words, why does
we're trying to figure out which meaning... Yeah.
So in other words, he was one of a group where there was a 9/10 chance that any of them was a goy.
Correct.
We go by the rove.
Okay, since there's no longer... Since the kvius was broken up, therefore there's a classic case of kol deparish, meruba parish.
I thought we don't go by rove in a case of suffix nefesh for one guy.
No, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're trying to figure out the parameters of that halacha. It's not true. That blanket statement of we're always choshesh for the miyut is not true according to Rav Yochanan.
According to Rav Yochanan.
That's the point. Shmuel, according to the Rambam,
mm-hmm,
says that. We're always choshesh for the miyut. You never apply rove. Rav Yochanan saying, wait a second. The only time, you know, we're choshesh for the miyut is only in specific circumstances.
Hmm.
And that's what we're trying to decide. According to Rashi, Rambam, and the Ravid, that specific circumstance is when the miyut was for sure in the makom leidas hasafek. And according to Rambam, that specific circumstance is only when the original, you know, group, the original kvius, is still intact.
It's very interesting, though, that the Rambam... In other words, if you had a case where, say, there was same minion, but happens to be that you by accident got like the nine guys who aren't Jewish, right? Say everybody in the college is Jewish except these nine guys, right?
That's it. What's your case?
What I'm trying to pick out is according to which rove we go by, right? So in the case of the nine guys, in the case that you got the same minion. Right?
Yeah.
But it happens to be that this minion is 10 people who, against all odds, because you know, let's say 90% of the school is Jewish.
That doesn't matter.
Who against? Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. All that matters is the case at hand. As long as the person in question came from a specific group.
A specific group.
That's all we care about.
Huh.
All
right. You know, interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Last question.
I really don't understand why Ram holds you go by the place he left. Not
I don't have a great explanation for that. All I could say is that it seems like the Rambam is basically saying that we're more lax in our definition of kvias when it comes to pikuach nefesh, and therefore the kvias doesn't have to be in the mokum where the suffix is, as long as there is a kvias at any point. In this case, even if there's a kvias in the original chatzar, that renders the case a case of kavua, and we, you know, therefore don't apply.
So then when they go two ways, when one guy separates and goes one way and other people go the other way, why does that not apply?
Because there's no longer kvias. If kvias is defined as everyone being together.
In other words, since rove of the people are still in that original place.
Exactly. It hasn't.
You've destroyed the certainty that permitted the kavua to be established. The kavua being kavua.
Okay, so basically we just discussed the rov. So now we're moving on to Svig Sveika, which is also a fascinating case. So Svig Sveika, again, is a double suffix, as we know, right? Not just one suffix, but there are two sveikos, which are, you know, going in the direction of saying there's no pikuach nefesh. So we'll get to a concrete case in just a moment. Let's see, right, the issue of Svig Sveika is explicit in the Gemara. That's the question itself is whether the Gemara is discussing a case of Svig Sveika. The relevant Gemara is on Pehei Amud Aleph, after the first two dots there. We're starting with the words Misha Nafo Alav Mapoles. Anyone want to take a shot at it, Casey?
Okay.
Yeah, you are. Brian?
Misha Nafo Mapoles. So Mike, what is this talking about?
Mike, because the Bechule is that now the Gemara brings up a lot of different sfeikos. There's stuff like whether he's alive, stuff like whether he's a Jew, stuff like whether he's there. And the question is, what's the point of mentioning all these different sfeikos? What's the difference?
Only by Sabek Risham, Sabek Risham, he is a chayav in the Mutum of Achavin, that if he's alive,
because if he's there, yeah.
Right, then he is saying that if he's there, chayav in the Mutum of Achavin, we're going to take him out. Hell, even if he's there, Sabek Chay, Sabek Mes.
Exactly. So not only if it's a suffix, whether he's there, it's even if it's a suffix, whether he's alive. Okay. So the Gemara, and just if you just take it literally, basically just mention not only the suffix of whether he's there, even the suffix of whether he's alive. And you know, and also third suffix of whether he's a Jew or not. So the major question is this describing one case in which all three sveikos apply?
Like a svek sveika.
Exactly. Or is it three distinct cases? So that's going to be a big machlokas. So I don't know if you guys saw it yet, but the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam, you know, two halachos before, you know, Perek Beis and Hilchos Shabbos, halacha Yud Ches, basically says that it's pashut that the Gemara is dealing with a case where all three sveikas are applying. So it's a sveika.
Yeah.
Right? Three sveikas. And yet, what's the chiddush?
Oh.
We still apply the hetzer pikuach nefesh. Right? So according to Magid Mishnah's read, if you ask Magid Mishnah, is it clear from the Gemara that we apply the hetzer pikuach nefesh even makom sveik sveika? He says, yeah. I have the Gemara, which even applies to Pikuach Nefesh, when there are three sveikos. Oh.
So, according to Magid Mishnah, how come the Rambam doesn't list it as a sveika? I should list solid.
Excellent. That was my next question. So the question, according to Magid Mishnah, is, exactly as Eitan just asked, is why did the Rambam say that? If you look at the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Ches, he only mentions the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh in regards to one suffix. Cole?
Mishanafla alav mapole, suffix hu, sham, suffix enosham, mefakhin alav. Hetzu hu chai af al pi.
Right, so it's before the period. So what's the right? Hetzu b'kof nefesh applies even when there's a suffix, whether
he's even there or not.
Okay.
Okay.
Then he goes on to say
whether he's there. Mitzu hu chai af al pi she nitrat setz. What does that mean? Nitrat setz.
I think it's like shaking, or you know, in a state where he's clearly going to die. Even though he didn't use a state, no, he's a state of sudden death.
He's near death.
Near death, exactly.
There's no way he's, you know,
there's no way you can save his life permanently.
He will convalesce. Mefakhin, that's not what that word means. Mefakhin alav motziin oto l'chaye ota.
L'chaye
ota sha'a. To live, even if it, he's only going to live during that same hour.
That time for temper. That's a b'chaye sha'a. So as Eitan pointed out, the Pasha Pshat in the Rambam is that he only mentions the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh when there's one suffix.
Right.
Just whether suffix in Hushon, whether he's there.
Even according to the Magna Mishnah, the other one is slow.
So Magna Mishnah implicitly asks this question on himself and gives two answers. His first answer is that the Rambam didn't need to teach Sveik Sveika. Why? Because in two halachos, he's about to tell you the din of Ruv. And once the Rambam in halacha Chav is going to tell you that we apply the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh even against the Ruv, so therefore it's pashut that you would also apply the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh against a Sveik Sveika. So again, that's a loaded comparison. The Magen Mishnah, in his first answer, is making an equation between Sveik Sveika and Rov. Right? Basically saying, if you apply Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh against the Rov, you would similarly apply it against the Sveik Sveika. So this hits on a much larger topic regarding the nature of Sveik Sveika. And the Magen Mishnah seems to be adopting an approach, which is accepted by some, that, according to some, the pshat and Sveik Sveika, what is that? What's this idea of a double suffix? According to some, the idea of a double suffix is that it's basically a roof. That if you have two different stadim to dictate, we'll say that there's no pikuach nefesh there, that basically creates a roof that there's no pikuach nefesh. There's a famous Chuvah Sarashpa who basically formulates Sveik Sveika and says it's kiruv. We'll leave it at that. There's a large discussion at Sveik Sveika, but in short, the Magen Mishnah's first answer, which basically brings a raya from Rov to Sveik Sveika, and says the Rambam doesn't need to teach Sveik Sveika once he teaches Rov. Again, the Magen Mishnah seems to be, learning that Sveik Sveika is similar to Rov. Again, a large topic. There is evidence, a lot of evidence for that idea that Sveik Sveika is similar to a Rov. Fine. The second answer of the Magen Mishnah is that he has an interesting deal. He says, no! Maybe the Rambam really was talking about a case of Sveik Sveika. Where in the world did you see the second suffix? Yeah, Eitan? So he's saying, what do you mean Matsu Chai? It sounds like, he's alive. Implication being, says the Magen Mishnah, that there was a suffix whether he was alive. So although the Rambam only explicitly says, only explicitly states the suffix of whether he's there, he says the fact that the Rambam says, he's alive, that implies that there was also a second suffix of not only whether he's there, but even if he's there, the second suffix of whether he's alive. So that's the second answer of the Magen Mishnah, to say, you're asking, why does the Rambam discuss the case of Sveik Sveika? And the Magen Mishnah is saying, he is. The Rambam is talking about the case of Sveik Sveika. Okay, fine. So again, I'm kind of the first approach, that the Gemara is talking about a case of Sveik Sveika, and therefore there is a makor in the Gemara for the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, even b'makom Sveik Sveika.
If I know Sveik Sveika, then I know Sveik Sveika.
According to the Magen Mishnah's read, yes, because that's the case of the Gemara. But ordinarily, you're right. You can always have raised that question. But depending on the perspective of Sveik Sveika, it could be that there might not be any difference. Once you get to Sveik Sveika, it might not matter. But for sure here, if your makor is this Gemara and you're reading that all three are Sveikas in the same case, then you have a raya not only for Sveik Sveika, but Sveik Sveika. The Rambam, yeah. Yeah, but I guess according to the Magen Mishnah, if the makor from the Rambam...
So you're going to have to fall into the first answer no matter what, basically. Because of that rule.
not meaning.
The Rambam is definitely clearly not in Halacha Yudchas. He's clearly not talking about Sfex, Sfex, Sfex.
Oh, but again, but you can think there's no difference between them, and then it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah, Shalom.
So how does the fact, shouldn't the fact that Rambam say Chaim show that there's no Sfex, something whether he's alive or dead?
He says what?
Says,
no, 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 that's when you ended up finding him alive.
Oh.
But I mean, the point is that we allow you to be Mechal Shabbos to uncover, you know, the rubble, you know, despite the fact that there seem to be two Sfeikos in him. Number one, whether he's even there. Number two, whether he's alive. So the other way to read the Gemara is what?
Three different cases.
And the Chiddush is that not only case number one regarding a Suffolk, whether he's there, but even a second case where it's a Suffolk, whether he is alive. And not only those two cases, but also a third case where it's a Suffolk, whether he is a Jew. So that possibility is raised by the Lecha Mishnah. So Lecha Mishnah on the spot, this says, wait a second, Lecha Mishnah, you don't necessarily have a Raya. You don't necessarily have a raya from the Gemara to Sfeik Sfeika, or to Sfeik Sfeik Sfeika, because, wait a second, it's very possible to read the Gemara alternatively as referring to three different cases. But then Lecha Mishnah says, I have a bam kasha myself, which basically forces me to agree with the Maida Mishnah. What?
No.
So Lecha Mishnah basically says, the problem with that alternative read of the Gemara being three distinct cases is, what's the chiddush in each progressive case? Each subsequent case. I think Mara says, "Let me buy a comma." Not only case X, but even case Y. Not only case Y, but even case Z. So if you hold like the Magen Mishnah that it's a fake, 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 each time you add another suffix is potentially a chiddush. Not only one suffix, but even two sfeikos. Not only two sfeikos, even three sfeikos. So then you understand, each progressive chiddush. The Lecha Mishnah says, but if there are three different cases, so then what's the chiddush in each one? Each time, there's one suffix. So the first case is suffix whether he's there. That's one suffix. The second case is a suffix whether he's alive. That's also one suffix. And the third case is suffix whether he's a Jew. That's also one suffix. So why is each progressive case a bigger chiddush? So the Lecha Mishnah basically says, therefore, on the basis of Akasha, the Magen Mishnah's read of the Gemara seems correct. The Gemara really seems to be talking in a case of Sveik. But I'd like to potentially suggest, it is a bit Chiddush, but suggest a way to read the Gemara in line with the Lecha Mishnah's original, suggestion, that really it's three different cases. But yet, or the Lecha Mishnah says, then what's the chiddush in each case? Perhaps we'd like to suggest right now that there's a way of explaining that there is a chiddush in each, in each case.
Yeah. Can you say that maybe it's a bigger, like a bigger suffix?
You saying the chances are different?
Yeah.
It's hard to say that because, it's not necessarily the case, and that's not the Gemara. The three cycles that they're talking about doesn't have to be the case like that. And therefore, when this doesn't have to be the case, the Gemara would seemingly have to mention that. So I'd like to suggest a big chiddush. And the idea is, I'll say the background is as follows. Right? That, basically, although all three sveikos are equal, let's say in terms of the numbers. Again, right, getting back to the statistical stuff, right? All three cases are equal in terms of statistical. From a statistical standpoint, they're all 50-50. Whether he's there, or indeterminate, as you would say, right?
Yeah.
Whether he's there...
Not 50-50.
Indeterminate. Whether he's there... I pay attention. Whether he's there... It's one
Me
suffix.
Too.
Whether he's there...
Usually.
Whether he's alive, and whether he's Jewish. But, so from a statistical perspective, it doesn't seem to be any difference. But... Perhaps there is a difference in terms of, right, in each case, there's one tzad, right, one tzad which points in the direction of Pikuach Nefesh, and one tzad which points in the direction of not Pikuach Nefesh. But perhaps there's a difference, conceptually, between the three tzadim, between the tzad in each case, which, points in the direction of there not being Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning, that, and the question being, what type of I would say, exception to pikuach nefesh are we dealing with? Namely, in the first suffix, whether he's there. So, the tzad not to apply pikuach nefesh is based on the fact that he's not there. So the fact that he's not there is a technical exception to pikuach nefesh. Meaning, fundamentally, in that case, we're dealing with a Jew who's alive. So fundamentally, the person we're dealing with is subject halachically to the pikuach nefesh.
Are we not sure?
No, I'm saying fundamentally. No. In the first case, the only suffix is whether he's there or not.
Yeah.
But we know that the person at hand, the person who might be there, is Jewish and alive.
There's only one suffix in this case.
They're trying to explain why, despite the fact that each case only has one suffix, why there's a progressive chiddush in each one.
Yeah.
So he's saying, in the first case, where the only suffix is whether he's there, so there, the reason not to apply the het to pikuach nefesh is only technical. Maybe he's technically not there. But the person himself is Jewish and alive. So if the person is fundamentally subject to the het to pikuach nefesh, it's only a technicality that he might not be present. So perhaps, just because you apply the het to pikuach nefesh there, maybe you would say, that's only because you're dealing with a person who fundamentally is subject to the het to pikuach nefesh. You just don't know. In every other case. You just technically don't know whether in this particular case it's a case of pikuach nefesh.
But that's because the two...
Wait. Let me finish. Case number one. Case number two, right, is where the suffix is whether he's alive. So here, the tzad not to apply the het to pikuach nefesh is not just a technicality that he might not be there. The person's not alive. All right? And fundamentally, right, the het to pikuach nefesh only applies to people who are alive. But...
That's not the chiddush.
But, so, right, in comparison to the first case, where it was only a technical reason not to apply pikuach nefesh, but the person is completely fundamentally subject to that, right, to the parsha of pikuach nefesh. Here, in the second case of whether he's alive, the person is in a state where halachically he's not subject to that pikuach nefesh, because that pikuach nefesh fundamentally only applies to people who are alive. But that person is a Jew, and therefore, for sure, when he was alive, was in the parsha of pikuach nefesh. So it's the middle category. Because he might, right, the two or the exempt or the exception of not being alive is fundamentally, you know, mufka, excluded from pikuach nefesh. But as a gavra, he once was in the parsha of pikuach nefesh. So perhaps we only apply, right, at stage two, perhaps we only apply the het to pikuach nefesh in such a suffix, because for sure we're dealing with a person who originally was in the parsha. Bevados was in the parsha of pikuach nefesh, because when he was alive, he was a vadai Jew. But you don't know in the third case, that's why it's the biggest chiddush. The third case is the biggest chiddush, because you're dealing with a person who might not be Jewish. So that's a complete fundamental hafka, you know, removal from the parsha of pikuach nefesh. Because this person on the tzad that he's not Jewish was never in the parsha of the het to pikuach nefesh. So the greatest chiddush is to say that we even apply the het to pikuach nefesh in the case of Safek Yisrael, Safek Guy, where on the tzad that he's a guy, this person was never subject to the het to pikuach nefesh. So in short, you have three different cases. In each one, it's only one Safek. And so from a statistical perspective, in a chanami, there's no difference. But perhaps fundamentally, there's a greater chiddush in each... No, in each case...
The chiddush gets progressively greater.
Exactly, the chiddush gets progressively greater. And that's the Gemara saying, Lombi Bayi Kamar, not only X, but even Y. Not only Y, but even Z. Because in each case, if you focus on the reason for, you know, the reason why, right, the tzad for why the het to pikuach nefesh would not apply, in each case it gets, you know, progressively more fundamentally, you know, mufka from the parsha of pikuach nefesh. It's chazer, In case number one, there's only a technical factor. The person might not be there, but the person fundamentally is completely currently within the parsha of Pikuach Nefesh. He's alive and he's a Jew. Second case, where the suffix is whether he's alive. So already, you know, it's a bigger chiddush because you're really dealing already with, you know, more of a fundamental factor, not just technically whether he's there, but fundamentally whether he's still alive. That's like a status. But it's still not the greatest chiddush because such a person was for sure when he was alive in the parsha Pikuach Nefesh. Therefore, the greatest chiddush is the third case where it's a suffix whether he's a guy, because in that case, the tzad not to apply Pikuach Nefesh there is because we're dealing with a person who possibly was never in the parsha of the Het Pikuach Nefesh. So perhaps, according to this explanation, we can, you know, rehabilitate the Lecha Mishnah's preferred reading of the Gemara and say, perhaps there's no raya, right, from the Gemara that we're dealing with the case of Sfeik Sfeika. Really, we're dealing with three different cases, and yet there's a you know, progressive chiddush in each case based on this business analysis. Yeah. Yeah, he rejects this.
No, but he even says he seems to find this whole approach would be, can't say this.
Yeah, he rejects this. Yeah.
What? What you're saying. Yeah.
I know. I'm saying this is against the Lecha Mishnah. Meaning, the Lecha Mishnah says there's no way.
Your svara is,
I know. I admit, the Lecha Mishnah is not willing. It says when you're dealing with these three cases, there's no chiddush in each progressive case, and therefore he throws it out. In economy. I'm saying it's a suggestion, given the fact that I think from just the read of the Gemara, I think the read of the Gemara is open to this suggestion, as the Lecha Mishnah points out originally. I think he even prefers this read. He just rejects it because, you know, Misvara, he can't understand. He doesn't see there being a progressive Kiddush. He obviously, you know, rejects this analysis implicitly. I'm just suggesting, perhaps, right, based on this analysis, there is a possible way to be Mekayim that read. Yeah.
So, could we just say in all these cases,
the Gemara is testing how far you take that rule. I mean, just like we saw in the case of Ru, the question is, how far do we take this idea of that, you know, we're always choshesh for Pikuach Nefesh? Every miut, only certain types of miutim.
But here it's a half and half case.
I know, but here, what we're saying is that it's not a statistical factor. It's a halachic factor about how mufka, you know, the particular, you know, suffix is from the realm of Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, so we have to stop in a minute. But there's one last thing I wanted to cover, so I'm just gonna just say it outside, really, you know, really short. So the last issue within the second topic, in terms of like the scope of the Pikuach Nefesh, again, how far do we take the Pikuach Nefesh? Where we so far we discussed Rov and Sfeik Sfeika. So the last thing is the issue of Basar Deos, where we had, you know, already came up earlier in the Gemara, on Pei Gimel, where basically it's the situation where you have three people saying that the person is not in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, and two people saying that the person is in a state of Pikuach Nefesh. It's called Basar Deos. They're rove people on the side of saying there's no Pikuach Nefesh. And the question is, does that rove, that beer, you know, generated by that rove, that consensus, well, that rove consensus, does that generate enough of a beer to basically be mafkia the safek to say there's no het to pikuach nefesh? So this ends up being a big machlokas. I'm just going to just list the shitos because I'm not sure exactly how to analyze, you know, the two tzadim. Anyways, it's very difficult to assess this type. I had a difficult time assessing what exactly nekudas machlokas here. But just to keep things organized, in short, there are two different approaches about whether we follow what we call rov deos or not. So the first approach is that we do not follow rov deos. So this is the pashtra on the Gemara on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. It said explicitly, the Gemara says we only follow Rov Deos in the context of Umdinon Mamona, but when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, it's still considered a case of Safek, and therefore we say Safek Pikuach Nefesh Lahakel. So again, that's the pashtra Gemara on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. And then in line with this pashtra Gemara, the Ramban and the Rush in, you know, Simen Yud Gimel, both Paskin, right, in line with this Pasha Gemara, that we do not follow Rov Deos. And in line with that is the Hagosa Bach, we saved it for this again, the Hagosa Bach on Pei Dal and Amud Beis, you know, Os Aleph again rejects Rashi, who's taking the other approach, and Hagosa Bach says, what are you talking about, and Rashi? It's clear from Pei Gimel Amud Aleph that we do not follow, you know, Rov Deos.
The Rashi, they go in
the Bach? The Gemara, the Ramban in the Rush himself, and the Hagosa Bach, And on the other side of the ledger, you know, those who say that, you know, we do follow Rove Deus, meaning that the Rove Deus creates a certain, you know, a strong beer, right? A certain certainty that we are, therefore, which is to the extent that that is mafkia, the safek, that right, whenever you have like a strong beer, we say there's no longer a safek, there's no longer a bona fide safek. So the following to Rishonim, basically they hold that Rove Deus do create in a sufficient, you know, beer to basically say the case is no longer considered to be in the category of safek pikuach nefesh. That this is Rashi and Peidal Hanbeis in our sugya, the way he understands the brisa of Amid Starf and the Das Acheres, that we, you know, include Nashim to be Das Acheres. It's clear from his, you know, from Rashi's explanation of that through Masal of Amid Starfin, he understands that if there were to be, you know, a case of Rove Deus 3 versus 2, we would follow the 3, which that is not, there's no case of Pikuach Nefesh. And last but not least is the Shi'iltos, who's quoted by that same Rush, who also says that we do follow Rove Deus in the case of Pikuach Nefesh. Okay? That's just we'll think we'll tomorrow night is it's trip day, so we have